The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is the happier, happy hour. This is Dom Crute. He is off. Rich is on the board, and you are on the lines. 844-967-2789. Really love this piece at the New Republic in the Achilles heel of Donald Trump, the ridicule, making him small. We do have some sound. We'll get to that today as well, because there were some specific references by Kamala Harris on how Donald Trump is an unserious man. You know, I've been saying this for a very long time as well. I think a lot of you think that as well. He's unserious. Those that support him are unserious people. I mean, you stand up in front of a crowd and talk about the late, great Hannibal Lecter, Dr. Hannibal Lecter, pardon me, get the name right. The late, great Dr. Hannibal Lecter, don't you wonder? Tell I'm from the Midwest. 844-967-2789. Also, Donald Trump apparently waffling, and him and his campaign maybe disagreeing, maybe agreeing on the terms of the September 10th debate. Should the mics be on? Should the mics be off? And there's lots of money in politics. We have some news on that as well. And we also, this hour, we're going to get to, beyond some of the highlights and the sound of the DNC, some specifics. NBC reporting, quote, Harris campaign slams Trump agenda as a deficit bomb, seeking to flip the script on fiscal responsibility. And the subheadline here, so far, Harris has proposed about $2 trillion in new spending and $5 trillion in tax revenues. Trump has backed about $5 trillion in tax breaks without paying for all of it. Who is the fiscally responsible politician, I would ask? But we have some callers that have been waiting. Let's get to them. 844-967-2789. Our pal from the leftist coast, Tom. Hey, Tom, happy days. What did you think of Kamala's speech? What did you think of the DNC? And what do you got for us?
Well, I thought it was incredible. Like I said before, I think that, we just have to really get out and vote. We have to check our registration, make sure Project 2025 is not coming to a town near us.
Have a vote plan, Tom.
Scary stuff. Unfortunately, my vote doesn't count as much in California as yours does in Wisconsin. So I would say all the Wisconsinites, please don't make us go Project 2025. But no, I think that in this debate, Dom, I think Lawrence O'Donnell was talking about on his show. They have the technology and the ability now with AI and all these different things to actually fact check in real time. And what they would do is they'd put it right on the side of the TV. And you know Donald Trump's not going to say anything new than what he's already said. He's already talked about border. He's already talked about inflation. He's already talked about this stuff. I don't think Harris should have to waste her time correcting the record every time he lies. I think that that's the responsibility. Just like when we call into, talk shows. It's like, we shouldn't have to waste our time correcting the lies of the right wing. We should have some pushback on that, so therefore we can actually talk about our affirmative position rather than getting in the sandbox with them.
All right, so let me ask you really practically though, Tom, with that. So I'm watching the debate, and this real-time fact check is occurring. So as a consumer of the media, I would see basically like a stream on the side of what was factual, what was not, what was said. Would Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, would they see this as well? They wouldn't be available to them. So this is, I just want to be clear. Is this specifically only for the audience's sake?
it would be for the audience's sake, but also I think that the moderators also, when they hear things like, oh, you know, Democrats want to, you know, kill children after 9 months. Come on. Everyone knows that's a lie. You know, and I'm so sick of some of these fact checkers where they go, oh, that's mostly true or mostly untrue or what. It's either true or false. You know what I mean? It's like, this is getting, that's just ridiculous. I heard also that the Trump campaign saying that they need to go back to talking about inflation and gas prices and grocery prices and the border. Well, we pretty much have solved all that on the Democratic side. So I don't know what they're going to talk about except for lies. All they do is throw whatever they can against the wall and hopefully it sticks. That's their whole plan. And again, this all goes back to having an authoritarian dictator over a democracy. And the Supreme Court has already moved us in that direction. We need to win the House. We need to win the Senate. And we need to win the presidency so we can actually get the agenda passed through that is the American people's agenda.
Right on, Tom. Always appreciate it. Good point. You know, it'd be nice to have some sort of fact check. Now, there are qualifying statements. We quote PolitiFact sometimes here on the show. There can be varying degrees of accuracy, right? Some things are flat out pants on fire. Some things that have some sense of truth, but, you know, are missing a few points. So not everything I would say is exactly black and white. I mean, this is a ton of gray in this world, Tom, but that aside, if we can account for that and have some objective, right? Who's going to be the arbiter of that? And certainly whoever moderates the debate, if someone says the late great, you know, Hannibal Lecter was a doctor in Florida and my best friend and, you know, acts like this fictional character was like somehow true and has any relevance, certainly an obvious blatant untruth like that should be called out by those who are quote unquote moderating. If it's CBF, if it's CBS, if it's CNN, if it's the devil's advocates, if you're with us and you're saying some trash and you call me a 6'4" black man, I'm going to say, you know, that's absolutely false, sir. You know, so the audience knows that's not the case. But there can be some gray areas, let's call it, Tom, and how that gets handled, I think, would be important. But I hear what you're saying, ma'am. 844-967-2789. The Wall Street Journal also had an op-ed talking about Kamala and what could possibly happen if she gets elected. Let's get into this just briefly again. 844-967-2789. This was from 3 days ago. The Senate takes on the filibuster. Chuck Schumer says he'll kill the 60-vote rule if Democrats control the Senate, and Harris implies that she's on board. And I think to myself, yeah, yeah. As Kamala Harris soared over the messy details of policy this week, the gritty tooth was delivered by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. If Democrats run the election table this year, he said the 60-vote Senate filibuster rule is a goner. Again, this is the Wall Street Journal opinion piece, their editorial board. Now, Democrats tried to make exceptions to the filibuster after they won control of 50-50 Senate in the 2021 Georgia runoffs. Schumer's attempt fell 2 votes short, the holdouts being Manchin and Sinema. We got it up to 48, the Democratic leader said this week, according to NBC. Sinema and Manchin voted no. That's why we couldn't change the rules. Well, they're both gone. Now, the Wall Street Journal editorial board says, yeah, that's for sure. The pair were run out of the Senate and the Democratic Party for their apostasy of supporting the filibuster as a barrier against runaway majorities. Oh, is that what it is? A barrier against runaway majorities? Isn't majority supposed to make the rules? I'm just wondering. The filibuster isn't in the Constitution. They just decided to come up with a rule. Oh, I got a rule. Let's make a new rule. Let's vote on the rule. Because we don't want the majority swinging things back and forth and back and forth. Oh, okay. Why not? I continue. Schumer says that won't happen again and looking at Democratic candidates, he's probably right. The Wall Street Journal editorial board writes, the Democratic majority went up to 51 after the 2022 elections. Manchin's seat in West Virginia is likely to go Republican this year, but Sinema's Arizona is leaning Democratic and the party's Senate candidate there, Rep. Ruben Gallego, favors filibuster reform. They put reform in quotes. In other words, Schumer said, even losing Manchin, we still have 50. Now, they say this should put a chill into Republicans, independents, moderates, and swing voters. Ooh, do tell. Democrats claim they merely want to end the filibuster to protect abortion, okay, and voting rights. Yeah. Yet that would break it for good. The pressure would be immense to add other exceptions, such as to restructure the Supreme Court, make Washington, D.C. a state with two Democratic senators, or ban right-to-work laws. I'm failing to see the downside on this so far, Wall Street Board editorial. Ms. Harris gave a hint of where she stands in her Thursday speech when she said that, quote, with this election, we finally have the opportunity to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act. Now, the editorial board goes on to say the only way those can pass next year is if Democrats break the filibuster. This is the agenda that Democrats don't want voters to notice. I absolutely disagree, editorial board. Notice. Yes, notice. That's why you vote for the Democrats, so they can get these things done. All of this raises the stakes for the Senate races this year. West Virginia aside, Democrats are now leading in every toss-up race except for Montana. And there, the incumbent, John Tester, is barely trailing his GOP challenger, businessman Tim Sheehy. Tester is refusing to endorse Harris to cover his progressive voting record, and Schumer will spend hundreds of millions of dollars to keep that seat. Now, with Mr. Trump now trailing in the presidential race, Senate control may determine how radical a Harris presidency would be. GOP candidates can sound the alarm, according to the Wall Street Journal editorial board just a few days ago. Listen, I don't know why you think this filibuster is so valuable. If a majority wins with a regular majority, why not implement what the majority wants? And if the implementation, the plans work, and the people appreciate it and continue on with it, then it won't change. And if a bunch of people come out and say, hey, you know what? We don't want that. That didn't work. Why would you have to? Why the 60? And what do you got against the Voting Rights Act? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I get that. Oh, yes, they're going to break it for good. They're going to restructure the Supreme Court. Man, this restructure the Supreme Court. Guy Thomas, his wife was involved in the J6. Man, she was sending out emails trying to convince people to state legislatures to overthrow the election. And dude took like $4+ million in bribes. Oh, I'm sorry. Gratuity? Are you kidding me? These guys are on the stake. There's no reform needed for the Supreme Court. Wall Street Journal, protecting abortion, Voting Rights Act. Well, I get the abortion part of it. And D.C., two Democratic senators. Doesn't Montana have two Democratic senators or two senators? They got like one area code. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Your call's next, 844-967-2789.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Monday to us all. Thank you for listening. We appreciate that. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. The Wall Street Journal editorial board's op-ed from a couple of days ago, warning about the dangers of Kamala Harris and if the Dems take the House and the Senate and they run the table, they'll do away with the filibuster and, oh my God, they might, you know, add Washington, D.C. as a state with two senators. And I would say, well, what about like Puerto Rico? But that aside, right? Let's think about this for a minute. Now, my understanding, Washington, D.C. as the population is about just under 700,000 people, maybe. I mean, that was from like 2022. Now, Montana population, according to the interwebs, about 1.1 million. All right, so 701 is a 500,000 people less. So do they deserve representation in the Senate? Do they? Yeah, I think they do. You know why? Because you want to talk about the population. Wyoming, according to the webs, Wyoming has about 580,000 people, the entire state. So Washington, D.C. has more people than Wyoming. Washington, D.C. has no senators, no representation in federal government. Wyoming has 580,000 people and two senators. And apparently, the Wall Street Journal editorial board has a problem with representation. Why should those folks have some representation? Why not? Because why? Because they're going to be Democratic, because it's generally liberal in D.C.? Is that the only reason? Editorial board and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act? I mean, and doing something about this corrupt U.S. Supreme Court? Corrupt to the core. Dude took $4 million in gifts, gratuities. Let's just call them bribes. What'd you get for it? Did you get any decisions? I don't know. How would we know? We'd even know that he got $4 million. ProPublica did some great reporting on that fact. And what are they? We don't need any sort of ethics rules. Well, the entire federal judiciary has rules with the exception of the U.S. Supreme Court. If it's good enough for them, isn't it good enough for you? What they wrote in the Wall Street Journal editorial to me is the exact reason why to vote for the Dems, to vote for Kamala Harris and vote for walls. That's why. Well, what do you got against people getting represented? Now, I get it. You're concerned about you're going to expand the court or add a couple more senators. Yes. Yes. Things evolve. And I get it. You know, rich old white men don't like things to evolve. They like things to stay just the way they were because it's good for them. Keeping people from the polls, having people with no representation in the Senate, citizens of this country, having corrupted U.S. Supreme Court justices who can just take bags of money. Does it matter if it's a free ride on the yacht or if he actually gave them like the $500,000 it would have cost to have that trip? Do you make a distinction? There are gold bars in the fridge. You know what I'm saying? Or packets of $100 bills in the gold bag. Is there a difference? I don't think so. So if you think that everything's just fine, just the way it is, we got it all figured out. We are at the pinnacle of American democracy. Nothing to see here. Move along. Well, then Trump's your guy. Then MAGA's your group. What do you think that maybe we need to continue on this effort? You know, this democracy is a living, breathing thing. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be nourished. It needs to be used and practiced and fomented and pushed and supported. These institutionals, our institutions, same thing. They don't exist outside of our minds, outside of our beliefs. They exist because they need to be supported by the citizenry. They need to be believed by the citizenry. And when you have the situation of the U.S. Supreme Court right now, and that's the corruption. I mean, the precedent thing is also a big problem, a big divergence. So when the Wall Street Journal says, oh, these are things to be scared about, maybe only if you're, you know, really scared of old rich white men being able to get away with it. And Clarence Thomas, 844-967-2789. Okay, policy. So policy, let's talk about the policy. Let's talk about the what a majority would do if the filibuster goes away. I'm down with it. I mean, come on. I don't know why we have the filibuster. If we're going to go there, let's hit the Electoral College as well. Let's reshape this. Let's make it more responsive and reflective of the wish and the will of the American people. And if the American people change their mind, then the American people change their mind. Oh, we don't want a majority swiping things back and forth. Why? Because you got to work. That seems really tough. Maybe you should make sure you pass good bills. But there are some policy items that have come out here recently, and we all hear it. Oh, when is Kamala Harris going to debate? When is she going to put some policies out there? When is she going to do this? When is she going to do that? Well, there are some things out there. And as NBC is reporting, not only are the Dems taking back the freedom mantle, reclaiming the flag, saying that values and character matter, because, you know, at the end of the day, folks, I don't care what you believe, if tax rate should be 90% or tax rate should be 1%. You know, if you have terrible character and no value, you'll get up and say whatever the hell you want. If there's no consistency in your position, if there's no consistency in your argument, there's no consistency in your philosophy, and you just go with the wind because, you know, that's where the power is at, well, then you don't have the character. You don't have the consistency. You don't have the values that you claim you do. They cannot be values if you discard them at the first sign of a little chopped up line of power that you can snort and get a little bit more of next time. Those aren't values. Now, I've been I've been believing weed should be legal since we were in college. Curdy and I got together, man. One of our love of the flower. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of other folks, too. Love of the flower should be legal. Should be absolutely legal. There is nothing in this world in the 30 or 40 years I've been consuming this product that would convince me otherwise. I mean, if Donald Trump come up and said, Dom, I'll give you $1 billion. I want you to come out against weed legalization. I would not take the money. But apparently, everyone's got a price. It was $2 billion versus, we'll see what happens. Got to pay taxes on that. Unless you just give me vacations, because then nobody pays taxes. Give me a break. All right, 844-967-2789. Let's dive into some of the numbers at the NBC piece. Who is the fiscal conservative? Is it Donald Trump or Kamala Harris? 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Lines open. Go in there and adjust a tad. Be patient, callers. We will get to you. I promise. 844-967-2789. If we have enough time yet today, I want to play some of the highlights, some of my favorite clips from the convention. But there's been a big pushback from the righties and the megas about policy and what's she going to do? Very vague. You know, one of the criticism from Donald Trump, I throw this in there as an aside. Kamala Harris was telling way too many stories of her upbringing. I'm thinking, yeah, dude, she's introducing herself to the country. Everyone knows you were born on third and thought you hit a triple. Come on, man. Everyone knows you, dude. Everyone knows. And most people have an opinion of you. And I can tell you mine isn't that great. But I thought Kamala Harris did a great job, and I appreciated the background, the backstory. Yeah, you know, those things matter, Trump. Some people love their family. I don't remember you mentioning your mother or your father ever. 844-967-2789. NBC News reporting. Kamala Harris is endorsing trillions of dollars in new tax revenues to fund her new policy plans, and her campaign is attacking Trump or failing to outline how he'd pay for the multi-trillion dollar agenda he's campaigning on. Ooh, it's a pay-go? Is that what we're doing now? Ooh, let's read more. Harris campaign spokesperson James Singer labeled Trump's agenda, quote, an inflation and deficit bomb in a statement to NBC News, sparking a Trump campaign response, blaming her for a Biden-Harris inflation tax. According to nonpartisan estimates, Harris is proposing to spend about $2 trillion and raise $5 trillion in tax revenues over a decade. Trump is calling for about $5 trillion in tax breaks and spending while raising less than $3 trillion in revenue through tariffs. Hands down, VP Harris is being much more fiscally disciplined than Donald Trump, said Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics. You know that lefty Moody's Analytics Corporation, right? It's a clear signal that whatever the policies, they plan to be fiscally disciplined. And that is a bit of a flip. Historically, being fiscally disciplined and focused on budget deficits have been a Republican rally cry. Yeah, historically. A Harris campaign spokesperson says she supports the $5 trillion in new tax revenues in the White House budget released in March, including a corporate tax rate hike from 21% to 28%, ending the Trump tax cuts for upper earners next year, and an array of taxes on wealthier Americans. Now, Harris plans aimed at lowering housing, childcare, and prescription drug prices that would cost about $1.7 trillion, according to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a research group that calls for cutting red ink. Now, Zandi agreed with that estimate, saying the new Harris plans would total $1.5 million to a high end of $2 trillion before the offset. So, at the very least, she should have about $3 trillion in deficit reduction over the 10-year budget horizon. I can't recall a deficit reduction package that comes even close to that, says the dude from Moody's Analytics. Now, Harris is seeking to flip the script on fiscal responsibility and build a permission structure for Trump skeptical moderate Republicans and center-right voters to support her candidacy, particularly in key swing states where they could be decisive, think Wisconsin. She has disavowed some left-wing proposals she endorsed in 2019 as a presidential candidate, such as Medicare for All and a Green New Deal. Mark Goldwyn, senior policy director for a committee for responsible federal budget, cautioned that the Harris campaign hasn't earmarked all the $3 trillion for deficit reduction. A quote, they've also pointed to that they're going to have plans on child care, long-term care, and paid leave. And he noted extending Trump's tax cuts for lower earners in 2025 would also offset her revenue raisers. We just haven't seen the full plan yet. All right, but we've got a sense, right? And there's other things in there that could cost some money that haven't been you know, equaled out yet. But we got a framework at least. Now, what about Trump? Now, Trump and his campaign had been calling for extending the 2017 tax cuts. I would mention those are unpaid for, as well as eliminating payroll taxes on Social Security, nixing tapes on tips, and boosting child care credit to $5,000. Now, taken together, his plans would cost about $5 trillion, as Andy said. Now, I asked Friday in Vegas how he would pay for the plans. Trump told reporters, growth! We're going to have tremendous growth. We're going to have tremendous growth. If you say it three times in a row, Trump, does it really happen? Where's Dr. Evil's secret lair? Where's Dr. Evil's secret lair? Where's Dr. Evil's secret lair? I mean, come on. Is that, they always say we're going to grow out of it, right? I mean, isn't that the trickle down? Oh, we're going to trickle down and give tax cuts to the wealthy, and we're going to grow, it's going to expand, we're going to grow our way out of it. When does that ever happen? Now, Goldwyn said that is not a serious proposition. Did we mention Trump is an unserious candidate? Tremendous growth sounds like a great idea. I don't know why we didn't do that in all previous administrations, but no, you're not going to grow your way out of this. Trump's one big proposal to raise revenue for the government is through new taxes on imported goods, a 10% worldwide tariff and 60% tariff on Chinese imports. Zandi projected that would bring in as much as $2.5 trillion in revenue. The Tax Policy Center estimated that Trump's tariffs would raise $2.8 trillion in revenue, slashing imports by 15%. Now, Goldwyn added that Trump's tariffs and mass deportation policies could shrink growth, even as some of his proposed tax cuts are good for economic growth. Another quote. So as a starting point, if you look at his whole agenda, the direction isn't even clear. It could be pro-growth or anti-growth, but the magnitude is definitely not going to be such that it's so pro-growth that it covers trillions and trillions of dollars of spending and additional borrowing. So whoever wins the election, Congress is headed for a major tax debate next year with much of the 2017 Trump tax cut set to expire at the end of 2025. It's unclear which parts will be extended. And finally, Trump's Harris campaign calls Trump's plan an inflation and deficit bomb. Singer predicted higher deficits under Trump's plan would ultimately be covered by ordinary Americans. Yeah, think about this. Donald Trump won't pay for his agenda, but the middle class will, with higher costs, cuts to Social Security and Medicare, and less economic opportunity, Singer said in an email. By contrast, Harris will make billionaires and big corporations pay their fair share while she builds up the middle class. In response, Trump campaign spokesperson Caroline Leavitt accused the Biden-Harris administration of engaging in reckless spending, saying America faces an inflationary spending problem, not a revenue problem. Well, that's one way to look at it. There's two sides to the equation, though, yo. She indicated that Trump would seek to boost U.S. oil production and exports, even as they've reached all-time highs under the Biden administration. I mean, drill, baby, drill is already happening. And, that's not great for the climate, but okay. And Trump's going to do it more? Because how? In what policy exactly? Drill, baby, drill. Oh, don't forget. I mean, dictator for a day is going to bring in tons of money. Because if you're a dictator for a day, you can just go take stuff. Right? Because that's what dictators do. Leavitt said, President Trump will cut wasteful government spending and make America a net exporter of energy again to help balance our nation's budget and pay off our mounting debt. Trump has also mused about cutting taxes further on individuals and businesses next year, which would raise his red ink estimates. Now, Zandi said that Trump's 2017 tax cut did lift growth in terms of corporate investments, but it didn't come close to paying for itself, and that extending them would add more red ink. There's no way he's going to get that kind of growth. The deficit finance tax cuts just don't pay for themselves. Zandi from Moody's, the deficit finance tax cuts just don't pay for themselves. 844-967-2789. So we've got a little samples here of what Trump's thinking to do and what the Harris presidency would do. What would you do? Where are you at? 844-967-2789. Let's get to some patient callers. Cam from Appleton, Wisconsin. Thank you, Cam. What do you got for us?
Hey, I think a lot of people unfortunately missed out on a 12-year-old was arguing with Mike Lindell in public over yeah. I don't even know what nonsense it was.
It was over voting, like, you know, illegal ballots in Georgia, and Lindell was like, Georgia, you read your newspapers. There's thousands, hundreds of thousands, read your newspapers. And the 12-year-old kid was like, so what, you're convincing me is trust me, bro? I mean, that's your evidence? Trust me, bro? A 12-year-old, I mean, push back. It was amazing. Yeah, yeah. And it's hard to recognize Lindell, man. He went incognito. He shaved off the mustache, put on a hat. It'd be like Crudy without the red hat and the goatee. He wouldn't recognize the guy.
Well, so that was kind of weird, right? Because Lindell, I don't know if that took place at the DNC or what, but
yes, it did.
I know,
yes.
Matt Walsh was crawling around at the DNC, and so was Charlie Kirk and a couple of his friends. I don't know how they distribute credentials for folks like them to go, but I don't know. I don't know why anyone would give them the time of day. They've done nothing but be irresponsible with the platforms that they own.
No doubt, Cam. I totally get that. And who knows? I don't know how they got them. I mean, Civic Media hooked it all up for us, so that's all I know. I don't know how those cats got them. But, you know, I don't object to it necessarily. If you want to go to the DNC and get lit up by a 12-year-old Mike Lindell, knock yourself out. Kind of tells you where you're coming from. Thank you, Cam, for the call. 844-967-2789. Mike from St. Paul, Minnesota. Welcome to the show, Mike. What do you got for us?
Hey, I was thinking about the filibuster, and I was thinking about a population-weighted filibuster. And basically, it would be if California has each senator has one vote now, but if California has more population, it would be given more votes based on its population, and say North Dakota would be given less votes based on its population, so that the 40% rule, they'd have to get 40% of the senators from that population to cancel the bill. So that's
I like what you're saying, Mike. I get what you're saying, but wouldn't that just kind of take away from the value of the two senators per state? I mean, you know, California's the largest populous state in the states. They get two senators. You know, Montana and Wyoming, you know, they each get two senators. You know what I'm saying? And DC's got more population than I think Wyoming does. So I hear what you're saying. Why not then just have the population, you know, derive the number of senators you get? Right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is the way of getting around. You still have the filibuster, but these.
Why have the filibuster? I mean, why do you think? Are you in favor of keeping the filibuster? Why not just, you know, 50% plus one, 51 votes?
I'm just being pragmatic because that will give political fodder for saying, you know, majority is riding roughshod. But if the senators from say North Dakota has like a half a vote, consider and all those, they'd have to get a majority of small population states together to defeat the bill. And they still maybe in their mind consider that fair, you know.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Mike. Thanks for the call, man. I do appreciate it. You know, I mean, I get the sense that, you know, you don't want, you know, California, Texas, and New York determining the laws for all the land. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if everything was just based on the population. But I also am not clear why the fear of not having the filibuster. This thing is a rule. It wasn't always there. It's not in the Constitution. It could very easily not be there. If the concern is that, you know, the majority runs roughshod, well, it's 51%, you know, 51-49. It's a majority. If you're going to want change in this country to be effective, why are you putting up a false barrier of 60 votes? Why not 65? Why not 55? You know what I mean? Oh, it's a two-thirds. We came up, you can come up with any number. It's arbitrary. And to me, I would think, like, if it's the majority. If it's 51%, 50 plus one, and it's only 100 senators, right? If it's over 50, that's what happens. Those people who voted in those senators, and those senators presumably did the will of the people, and there's 51 or more that want X, Y, or Z done. Welcome to the will of the people. And if the next election cycle, if the other team gets ahead and they want to redo something or make a new law or, you know, give some tax breaks or give some tax cuts, then you know what? Then you do it again. Oh, it's going to be up and down, changing all the time. Yeah, it's government. It's like work. Maybe you wouldn't campaign for most of the year. You'd have to like show up and do something. And also, while we're at it, let's shorten the campaigns to like 30, maybe 90 days. You know, come on. This has been the glorious campaign. I can't wait for it to be over. It doesn't need to be years long, man. I get it. Trump's never stopped running. Well, he's always running from the man, but he's running to be the man, so he doesn't have to be caught by the man and do what the man tells him to do. I'm telling you to call the Devil's Advocate. One more segment for your take. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Rich will screen the calls and we'll get you on the air. Wow, the show actually went kind of fast. Rich, thanks for the work. I do want to get a couple of the sound bites out there. Strong black women, man, Oprah, Michelle Obama, Kamala Harris, to me, were the most impactful, I mean, just best speeches I've heard given at the DNC. I've never seen that before, never heard that before. And I think it's important to highlight. This is historic. Not only historic because, of course, Kamala Harris, but these strong black women getting up on that stage and telling you what it's like, getting stuff done. I thought it was great, and I want to highlight just a few of them that I really liked. Rich, we're going to start with Oprah, cut number four. I didn't know this when she said this. She was an independent. I just kind of assumed she was always a Democrat, but, you know, who knows? She's an independent. Let's hear what she had to say, cut four.
I'm calling on all you independents and all you undecideds. You know this is true. You know I'm telling you the truth, that values and character matter most of all.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Oprah, they matter. They matter, and it's on the ballot. Decency is on the ballot. Cut number five, please.
Decency and respect are on the ballot in 2024.
Decency, respect, character, and values. Are those any attributes that you would give to Donald Trump? I mean, for real. When you look at Donald Trump, and there's an op-ed, I didn't get to this today, maybe tomorrow. I think it was at Rich Lowry from the National Review, got his opinion posted at the New York Times saying like Donald Trump can win on character. And he's just getting his ass handed to him on the social medias. So is the New York Times. Why are you putting this up? But we'll get there tomorrow. Not time today, man. I wish we had another hour. Let's keep a couple more from some of my favorite speeches. Oprah talking about the cat lady. Cut six, please.
And if the place happens to belong to a childless cat lady, well, we try to get that cat out, too.
Gotta love the cat lady comments. And I think I'll do one more from Oprah. Cut number seven. See if this reminds you of anybody. Cut seven, please, Rich.
When we stand together, it is impossible to conquer us.
You know, our pal, the very comparable Maggie Dawn, she signs off talking about standing together. And I thought that as soon as I heard that, I thought of Maggie. Let's go move on to Michelle Obama. Hope making a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years. Cut nine.
America, hope is making a comeback.
Yeah, Michelle, cut 10. Let's keep going.
Kamala Harris is more than ready for this moment. She is one of the most qualified people ever to seek the office of the presidency.
Yeah, you think? District Attorney in California, Attorney General California, largest state in the country, fifth largest economy in the world. Elected Senator California, Vice President. Yeah, that seems pretty qualified. I'll skip a couple more. Go vote, cut 11.
This election is going to be close. In some states, just a handful, listen to me, a handful of votes in every precinct could decide the winner. So we need to vote in numbers that erase any doubt.
Yes, indeed. And that would be, if this thing, it's going to be close. But what if it wasn't? What if it's a blowout? I mean, you got to act like you're losing. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep in that mentality. But boy, it would really send a signal if it was a blowout. One more, the best one. From the former First Lady, cut 12, please.
His limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be Black. I want to know, who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those Black jobs?
Oh, man. That crowd was off the hook. Let's go to some VP Harris. If you would, Rich, it might take you a second to pull up. I understand. Take your time. If we get to it, that's great. When, you know, Kamala Harris accepts the nomination, again, the introductions by all the folks, the crowd was into it. There was hope. There was energy. Let's hear the history of Kamala Harris accepting the nomination.
On behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America.
Fantastic. I think we'll get two more if we can, Rich. The Trump is not serious. Now, we reference this of a New Republic piece, Michael Tomasky saying, ridicule them. That's what gets under his skin, specifically Trump. Let's hear what VP Harris had to say.
In many ways, Donald Trump is an unserious man. But the consequences of putting Donald Trump back in the White House are extremely serious.
And the last one, if you would, please, Rich, out of their minds. Let's do the longer 21 seconds, please. Oh, we don't have it. Oh, man, that was the best one. When Harris is talking about the Republicans wanting to, what, set up a committee to track your track abortions in states, they are out of their minds. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for listening. Crudy, back tomorrow. I expect the same from you as well. Have a great night. We'll see you then.